This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue our study through 2 Peter. And so we're in 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. And if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to begin reading that verse 8 and go through verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 through 13 this morning. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, I pray that You just speak to us through Your Word and help us to understand the truths that You'd have for us there. Lord, help us to understand the importance of the hour in which we live, the importance of the calling that You placed upon our lives, what it means to be a Christian in this hour, and how we are to live as Your children, and Father, what we are to do. Lord, may we look to where our hope lies, and it's not in the things of this world, but Lord, it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and it is all that You have promised that You will do through Him for us. Speak to us through Your Word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the fact that there were going to be scoffers that would come into the world. Scoffers are those that are deniers. They are those that come and want to make light and make fun of that which is true. Peter said that this, in the last days, scoffers would be present. We talked about the fact that there would be false teachers entering the churches. And already at the time that the apostles were walking on the earth, that was occurring. People who would come in and give a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different message, a different hope when there is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. Peter talked about this as well as we've seen as we've gone and studied through Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus, as we've looked at John's letters to the church, and as we looked at Jesus' account to His disciples on the Mount of Olives, shortly before He went to the cross, where He told them what the events would be in the last days. Yet with all these events going on around us, men are scoffers. They want to be deniers. And the reason that they want to be deniers is if you want to accept what the Bible says, you have to accept the God of the Bible. And the thing is, there is only one truth, there is only one means of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God is who He says He is. Now, those that are scoffers have different gods and believe in different things. Peter's going to lay out for us some things on what our perspective should be in light of scoffers this morning. And he says in verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." Well, what is the one thing? The one thing is he gives us the example of time. And we need to understand that, first of all, God stands outside of time. Jesus created time, and He will end time. The Gospel of John tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence. That was the beginning of time, as we know it, as He created His creation, and He created it in 7 days. He put an order in there. He established the sun, the moon, the stars. He established the planets. He established the universe. He created all the things that we see in the form of plants and animals and everything else on the earth and in his creation of the universe. When he did that, he also established time. Prior to that, God stands outside of time. He's not controlled by time. You and I are controlled by time. How many times have you said to yourself, boy, I just wish I had a couple more hours to get this done. I wish that, man, time is just flying by. I want to tell you something. The older you get, the faster time seems to go. Because we're getting to, as you get older, you get closer to the end of your time as you know it on earth. And God has a beginning and an end to his time. The beginning was when he created, as I mentioned. The end will be when he comes to judge. Now, Peter is talking about and referring to the judgment that's going to come. The final judgment will come after the millennial reign of Christ, which is referred to in the scriptures. It's going to come when Jesus judges Satan once and for all, judges all the demons or fallen angels once and for all, and he'll have the great white throne judgment where he will judge all men. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will have to stand before the Lord on your own works, with your own words and your own actions. And you will have to show God through that how that you have never violated his character or rebelled or sinned against him, and you who did not accept the only means of covering for that sin, the blood of Jesus, where he paid the penalty for us, now have to pay the penalty for your rebellion. That day is coming. It's not a day which is not often preached about in churches anymore. They don't like to talk about the judgment. Why? Because people don't like to hear about judgment. It's accountability. We live in a generation where there is a total lack of accountability. And that people do not want to be accountable for their actions. They don't want to be accountable for the things, the decisions they make. And instead, they always play the blame game is one of the main games that we play today. When things go wrong in my life, it's always somebody else's fault. Well, the Bible tells us, no, we're responsible for the decisions and choices we make. And one day there's coming in accountability for that. We're going to be looking at that this morning in light of the fact that, and Peter starts out with the fact that God stands outside of time because time is his creation. All of his creation is contained within time, and one day time will be no more. And that the Lord, who created all things, will one day judge all things. So Peter tells us that that as far as time, it says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And that is because he stands outside of time. He goes on and he says it's a little different for us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I want you to see something there that Peter doesn't really specifically lay out as time, but it shows that there is only a certain time that men have to repent. If that wasn't the case, then you'd have everyone getting saved, everyone going to heaven, no accountability, no dealing with unrighteousness and wickedness, and no really dealing with sin. But we see here that Peter tells us God stands outside of time, but man's only got a certain period of time. And within that period of time, from the time you are born until the time you take your last breath, you have to make choices. And some of these choices are very serious choices, but men don't take them seriously. And the most serious choice that any man makes is where he's going to spend eternity. Because it's not up to God where you spend eternity, but it's up to you where you spend eternity. because you have the opportunity to choose to receive the gift of salvation or to reject it. Now I want you to see that our culture of non-accountability has even entered the church. And there are people today that say, well, you really can't make a choice to receive Christ. You really can't make a choice to reject Christ because God has preordained and predetermined where everybody's going to go. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. Well, I want to tell you, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things because He's God. And as I mentioned, He stands outside of time. But within time, we have choices. And we choose. We choose to receive God or reject God. We choose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior or scoff at the gospel or create another gospel, as there are all these different religions in the world, but they are all lies. And they're all founded by the father of lies, Satan, to deceive men. Now, as you look at what he says here, what is God's goal in time? When God created, he created Adam and Eve. And they were created at the beginning of his establishment of time. It says that they were created on the sixth day. Now, it's interesting today, as Peter spoke and we touched on a little bit last week, one of the things that scoffers do is to deny the creation. And they want to deny the creation of God and they want to speak of evolution. But if you have evolution, there's no accountability. Because things just evolve as things will evolve. But if you look at creation, God created Adam and Eve. A man and a woman. And God gave them responsibilities. The first responsibility he gave was to Adam. That he was responsible to take care of God's creation on earth. And he was also to be the spiritual head of his home and to look out for his wife or help mate, Eve. And that is why it's not through Eve that sin came, but through Adam. Now if you look at what happened is Eve was deceived. But where was Adam? When the serpent came and deceived Eve, and said, it's okay for you to rebel against what God has told you. Because he really didn't tell you the truth. That's really what the whole conversation was about. Is God true and is his word true? Or is he lying to you? And so the serpent deceived Eve in saying, you need to look at the tree of life. I mean, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you would eat of that tree, then you shall be as God. You shall know good and good and evil. And it says that Eve made an interesting statement, which we do when deception comes. She added to the word of God. Because she said, yes, God said that we were not to look upon and touch nor eat that tree, of that tree. God never said they weren't to touch it or to look at it. As a matter of fact, Adam had been commissioned to take care of the garden and all the plants. But they were just not to eat of it. She added to the word of God. And you will find that people will add to the Word of God because then it can justify why they're saying what they're saying. But she was deceived. When Adam came and saw what the serpent had done, and Eve came and offered him the fruit of that tree and said, "Take and eat," Adam knew he was violating the word of God and the truth if he ate of that fruit. I don't know what was going through Adam's mind because the scriptures don't tell us. We can only think, but all we do know is what scripture says, and it says that he took and ate of it. He did it willfully. Eve did it by deception. There's a whole different accountability level. Adam stood accountable for what he'd done. And Eve joined him in that act. The scriptures tell us that you and I are sinners because of what Adam did. And you can say, "I wasn't there. I didn't get to choose." Well, I've talked about genetics, and genetics are in the news. You were there. You were there genetically, you were there. Every person that's ever going to live on this earth was there when Adam and Eve sinned. Every one of us is a descendant of Adam and Eve. I tell people there are two points, you know, when the whole race issue comes up and different cultures and all this, and people, even what's going on in our world right now, where you've got these people in the Middle East that say all Jews should be killed simply because they're Jews. They're no different than you or I, except they're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they're also the descendants of Noah, and they're descendants of Adam. There are two points in history where every person in the world, if you could accurately trace your genealogy, would have to come to agreement, and that is at the point of Noah and his wife, and their three sons and their wives, and at the point of Adam and Eve. God stood outside of time, but Adam was in time. Adam made a choice, a wrong choice, that impacted every person that's ever lived. But God wanted to give each one of us opportunities to experience deliverance from that wrong choice. Yet God, if His word is true, is a holy and righteous and just God. And truth is truth, and lies are lies. And God spoke the truth, and Satan brought a lie. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. He's also a murderer, because he's the one that caused mankind and tempted them to sin and led them to be really facing eternal damnation and death. He brought sin into the world, he brought death into the world, and he did it through deception and lies. So if God is true and Satan is lies, if you violate the truth, is there accountability for violating the truth? Well, there has to be. And it doesn't matter what I think or what you think, but it matters what God thinks, because He's the one who created all things. And that is why man scoffs at creation, because they want to deny accountability to a creator, and they want to deny accountability to His truth. Well, the scripture tells us in the verse we just read that God doesn't send people to heaven and certain people to heaven and certain people to hell at a whim. It says rather that he desires that all men would be saved. And that is why you read in the scriptures, contrary to some false teaching that has entered the church, that when Jesus came and went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sin, the scriptures tell us he who is without sin died that he may pay the penalty for those who had sin. It says that he paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. That means every man, woman, and child that ever lived had the opportunity to receive and accept the truth or reject the truth. It's interesting. An example of this is being lived out in the Middle East right now, in the Gaza Strip. You've got Palestinians who have rejected the truth. They reject the God of Scripture. They reject the Jesus of Scripture. They reject the gospel message, the means of salvation that is found in Christ. Instead, they've embraced a false religious system, Islam, which is in direct opposition to biblical Christianity. And those who would tell you that Islam serves the same God as the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians is a liar. Because the God of the Bible has a name. The God of Islam does not. Allah means God. It is not the name of God. The name of God is revealed in the scriptures. It's Yahweh. That's his name. It's not God. It's Yahweh. The English version of that is Jehovah. And he has other names that he attaches to that to describe his character. We have one of the choruses in our hymnal, El Shaddai, the God who is there to supply or to give or to meet our needs. So you have a true God and you have a false God. And I mentioned at the beginning of prayer time to pray for the Christians in Gaza, because there are Christians in Gaza. Not a lot. And believe me, they face persecution. And they could even face death. Why did they choose something different when it could mean horrible consequences to them? Because it's the truth. Jesus desires that all men would come to know the truth. I can give you example after example of people who were bound in the lies of Satan to the point that they were persecuting Christians, persecuting Jews, persecuting and killing. Killing was a way of their life. It was about, I think it was 2018, we went on vacation and I had Tom and Renee play the testimonies of four ex-Muslims. One was a leader in Hezbollah. One was a terrorist, being trained to be a terrorist. Another was another leader in a terrorist organization who came to Christ. Totally transformed. Different men today because of Jesus Christ. Had God condemned them to hell because they had begun following this false God to the point that they were even planning ways to kill Christians, planning ways to get rid of Israel, planning ways to do all these things? God hadn't given up on them. And they came to receive Jesus and are transformed men. So he tells us here that men are within time. But God is long-suffering. People say, well, I look around and I read prophecy and it looks like things are getting warmed up and things could happen just like it said in Scripture. We could be looking at the Ezekiel 38 war. We could be looking at Damascus being obliterated, and you could. But every day that God doesn't allow it to happen, it's so that others can be saved. He desires not to send any to hell. But He will, because He's a just and a righteous and holy God, and He will give you what you've chosen. That's a sobering thought. That men have the ability to escape eternal judgment, but they'd rather scoff at that judgment and scoff at the means of salvation. Well, Peter goes on and tells us, but the day of the Lord will come. He tells us, first of all, God's eternal. God stands out of time. Man is not eternal. Man is within time. Within that time, man makes choices. Within, when he makes those choices, there are real consequences to the choices he makes. Real moral consequences, real eternal consequences. But one day, there will be no more time. One day, time will be up. I don't know if you ever watch sports, but until the last whistle blows, until the horn sounds of the last, if you're playing basketball or football, the last quarter, until the last out is made in the last inning of a baseball game, there's always some hope that the team can come back that's losing and win the game. But what happens when the horn or the whistle blows? Time's up. It doesn't matter if they're on the half-inch line in football and you know that in one more play they could have scored and won the game, but they didn't get the opportunity because time is up. There's literally going to be thousands of thousands and thousands of people who are sitting there saying, well, I'm just about ready to accept Jesus, but I've got time. Or, I just can't believe in a God that would be so gracious that He'd accept me, but others would go to hell. Their day, the time will come up. Time comes up in a couple different ways for people. Time ends in different ways. My parents have both died. My wife's father has passed away. He used to attend church here. I have grandparents that are dead. Great-grandparents that I never met that are dead. Their time is up. They had opportunities. I praise God, most of them accepted Christ. But some did not. It doesn't matter how much I pray for them or how much I'd like to see them in heaven or how much, their time was up. They had the opportunity. They did not choose wisely. And as Jesus said, a man can build a house on a rock or on sand. And if you build your house on sand, we just came from our vacation and we went to the beach in Florida, and my two little granddaughters, especially the littlest one, was trying to build things in the sand with the waves coming in. It didn't work well. She was constantly digging holes, putting up little things, and then the wave would come in and it would be gone. Jesus tells us there were two men, one wise and one foolish. The wise man built his house on a rock. And what's the symbolic nature of a rock? What's the purpose of that? A rock in Scripture and in real life is unmovable. If you build that and make that the anchor, your house isn't going to move. But he said there was also a second man, and that was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Well, I want to tell you, which is easier to build? Rock or sand? It's easier to go through life scoffing than believing in the Bible and living it out according to what God's called us to do by the power of God's Spirit and His Word. But the problem is, the guy who built his house on the sand, the storm came. Now, it doesn't indicate that the storm was any different that hit the two houses. Same storm. A violent storm. And the storm came, and when it hit the house on the house on the rock stood still. But it says, Jesus said, when it came to the house on the sand, when the storm hit the house on the sand, it was destroyed. What he was speaking of was your life. Are you building on sand or a rock? Jesus said, He is our rock. We have some hymns that, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The thing is, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're building our life on the rock, and our life is being built on the truth of God's Word and not the lies of this world, nor the lies of Satan, nor the whole deception. You can go to the beach, and we were at the beach, and as we walked down the beach, I was looking, and there were some really, really beautiful houses built on the beach. But I'm thinking, how would they stand up when a hurricane comes? Would you like to be in this beautiful house on the beach, or would you rather be in a little cottage inland away from the rough seas? Peter tells us, but the day is coming. That day is coming where everything's going to be tested. Just like those two houses were tested by the winds of the storm. And one stood and one fell. Our lives will be tested, and the choices that we have made with the Lord in relation to Jesus Christ will be examined. And those that have made the right choice and built their house on the rock will stand, where those who built their house on the sand or the lies and deception of Satan and this world will fall and collapse and will be cast into eternal damnation. And that day is coming. Peter says, if you don't believe it, it's coming. If there's any generation that should really believe the Word of God and the truth of its word, it's our generation. No other generation saw Israel be dispersed amongst the nations. So they had no identifiable nation any longer, and yet come back and become an identifiable nation with an identifiable land that was the same land that they were dispersed from. Just as God said they would. And To be honest, I don't know why Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and all these people want to think that they can drive Israel. We have a representative in Congress that said the Hamas from the ocean to the river, from the river to the ocean, or river to the sea. What she's talking about is wiping Israel off the land from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. I want to tell her, you are fighting against God and the truth of His Word. And He has said, once He reestablished Israel as a nation, they will never be leaving that land again. So she's fighting against God. Think she's going to win? And the thing is, if you look at what Peter's saying, just as sure as Israel would come back into the land, just as sure as they come back as one nation, not two, they left as Judah and Israel, they're coming back as Israel, just as God said. Just as He said, the events that would happen, that the whole world would begin to go against Israel, and ultimately in the end, everyone would. I don't know about you, but if someone came to the United States and started butchering babies, killing elderly, burning people alive, to the tune of about 50,000 Americans, I don't think I'd be putting together peace marches on their behalf. But I want you to show what happened, how diabolical and how Satan is so wicked. That's exactly what Hamas did on October 7th in Israel. And today, in European cities like London and Paris and Rome, in Brazilian cities, in some U.S. cities, they're having thousands of people coming out and marching on behalf of murderers. At the same time, in our own nation, there was a Jewish man who was standing out in protest of the protest, holding an Israeli flag. He was hit over the head with a megaphone, fell on the grass, on the cement, and he bled and died. And the news won't even report the actual facts that he was murdered. Right now, in France, Jewish people are having swastikas put on their homes. How can this be? The Jews did nothing. But the Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen in the last days. The world is going to come against Israel, because they believed the lies and made wrong choices. Well, we're going to continue on with what Peter talks about next time when he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That day is coming. Just as we've laid out historically how things have actually been, and if you want to really do your own research and study, I challenge you to do it. There's a man by the name of Lee Strobel. There's another one by the name of Josh McDowell. There's groups like Institute for Creation Research, Answers in Genesis. We've looked at the biblical accounts of creation, looked at the biblical account of the flood, looked at the biblical account of world events, looked at the biblical account of the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, looked at the prophecies dealing with it. Some of these people went in as skeptics and scoffers But when they looked at all of the facts screamed, God is true and this book is real. And you better make right choices today because none of us knows about tomorrow. I shared with you a while ago in the sermon, there's two ways the end is coming. One is when you face death. And there's one thing I can guarantee for everybody in this room, unless the Lord returns and raptures His church, everybody in this room will one day die. Have we made right choices in preparation for death? The other thing is, each one of us will one day stand and give an account before the Lord. If you're an unbeliever, it's going to be at the white throne judgment. If you're a believer, it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ where you give account with your life and all the blessings that He entrusted to you and what you've done with those. But the unbeliever is going to stand before the white throne judgment and they're going to have to try and justify why God should let them into heaven when they're a rebel against the truth. Time and choices. God has placed us in time to make choices. May we make the right one. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray You'd help us to understand this truth and help us to apply these truths to our life. Help us to see what Peter was talking about, that You stand outside of time. To You, a day is as 1,000 years, but to us, we're captured by time. And Lord, we only have so many days to live. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to make right choices and help us to choose to believe the truth and not be a scoffer and trust in lies and deception. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 490.